The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them the bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus,
amen.
The first two of Jesus' disciples are made by hearing his words and being enlivened by them. When Jesus leaves, they follow him like lost sheep who have just found their shepherd. And when Jesus asks them why they follow him, they answer in turn by asking, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" We follow because we want to be with you. There is no great miracle here, but the miracle of faith. Believing in Jesus, these two men thirst for never thirsting. That is to say, they want Jesus as Jesus because they love him for who he is. Every sign of Jesus is intended to elicit this very response. And this, then, is the great disappointment of the questions asked of him today. "Rabbi, when did you come here? What must we do? What sign do you do? What work do you perform?" And these, all after a mighty bull rush, a grass-rooted endeavor to make Jesus the bread king, for having multiplied loaves and having satisfied the hungry crowd. But that great feeding was a sign beyond what was merely seen and tasted. Being filled and sated
is but a natural side effect of spending time with Jesus. Yet there is something deeper at play than the side effects, the great cause of effect, the unmoved mover who moves. Jesus wishes to be made known to his people, and the unique quality of the Lord is that he prefers to be made known in the giving. Many who could have made Jesus known to the masses were instead silenced by him. The truth is, their words could not do what Jesus' actions could. Such well-intentioned people, or fearful demons, could not give Jesus. And Jesus desires to be known, not merely known about. And thus he gives bread in the wilderness, bread upon the grass, bread in the upper room, that he might be made known to be the very God who loves and who in the loving gives what is good. It just so happens to be that what is good happens also to be that which gives life, because life is good. But the gift of life is not limited to food alone. Of course, this is partly what the Lord means when he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." And also when Solomon in his wisdom declares, "It is not the production of crops that feeds mankind, but that your word sustains those who trust in you." The wilderness manna is the tangible, digestible sign of that life which comes from God and is conformed to the person of his word, which conformation comes through the eating. Nevertheless, even though it came from heaven, the manna is still food that perishes. And even this fact is a sign. As the bread bred worms and stank, so is the fate of all who receive for food only that which is perishable. Eating the perishable makes you perishable. Eating the temporary makes you temporary. Seeking only food for the bellies makes you a part of the chain. Food for the bellies of other beasts when the time comes that you are yourself planted as a seed of grain into the earth. The truth of such signs is that the true gift of life is not distinct from the one who gives it. The wilderness manna is the gift of life in food that preserves God's people in time. The person of the Word, begotten from the Father, is the gift of life that preserves his people for eternity. But for him to be made known in the giving, the gift itself must be more. And precisely now is that realized, since the Word has become flesh. Jesus says it, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Under the sign of bread, God speaks of, points to, and gives himself in Christ, and encourages you to seek him for his own sake, not for the sake of the sign. That is the purpose of signs, to make you seek the person of Jesus, the person of the Word, by which the man of God lives, even as the signs are Jesus himself in the giving. Thus you are not to look at the sign, but through it, across it, at him who is within its heart. And by it, you grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, as St. Paul writes. Manna is temporary. The daily nature of that miraculous food is proof enough. It is eaten, it is used, it is expelled, and more is then required for the upkeep of the human person on the morrow. The true bread of life, however, is eternal. It is never consumed, for it does the consuming. Unlike its wilderness counterpart, this bread is not used repeatedly for temporary gains. Instead, it compounds with each new reception. It adds, it sums, it exponates. It grows itself within you, and from within, it grows you yourself. You have seen the sign. You have received the gift given. You return to this bread, not because your stomach is empty, but because your heart is, and because your soul is, and because this bread fills and satisfies both. Each reception is fullness upon fullness, grace upon grace, compounding holiness and transformation, so that you never end up being hungry or thirsty, even in your craving for more. And this craving is not a craving of a gift to be used, a hunger for food, not simply as food to be devoured, but as a person to be known and loved. And in the loving, the drawing ever nearer, in the most holy of pilgrimages, across to the other side. Truly then, indeed, O Lord, give us this bread always. In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.